Please join me in your hearts in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like a wind and cleanse, come like a fire and burn. Convict, convert, and consecrate our lives. For our great good and your greater glory, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, experience teaches us that for a team to perform well, all the members of the team need to be on the same page, we like to say. Whether in sports or business, government, not-for-profit, human endeavors are thought to be achieving their best when everyone is rowing in the same direction. Discord leads to loss of productivity, missed objectives. We experience this at principle in other areas of life, our marriage relationships, for example, are helped when both spouses are committed to the larger good of the marriage instead of only being focused on what is in it for them personally. Do you ever wonder why? Why does the notion of the importance of this kind of togetherness, where does it come from? Why does it exist at all? In the church calendar today is Trinity Sunday, when we remind ourselves as Christians that God has made God's self known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christian faith is rooted in the oneness of being of Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. When we confess our faith, which we will with Apostles' Creed today, we say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And in obedience to our Lord's teaching, we baptize, as we will today, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Admittedly, the idea of three in one is hard to think about because God's being is not our being. We note that God's triune nature is the grammar for the New Testament when it speaks of God. In John's Gospel, where we read today, for example, he begins that whole Gospel by telling us up front that Jesus is God come in the flesh, and the Word was God. Thus, in the conversation we read today of John, where he records the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, you have God the Son teaching Nicodemus about the kingdom of God, or the Father, and the Spirit, and being born of the Spirit. This is an instance of what I mean by that the grammar for the God in the New Testament is this triune God. In the text we read from the Apostle Paul's letter in Romans, he speaks of the Spirit, capital S, who bears witness to the believer in their own spirit, small s, and in that same sentence about being heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Again, this threefold grammar for God. And what is made explicit in the New Testament is foreseen in the Older Testament. In Isaiah's vision, for example, when we have that triune, holy, 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 and God's question is, who will go for us? Some feel that the doctrine of the Trinity is excess baggage for modern Christians to carry around. We can't explain it ourselves, so how would you ever tell your neighbor about this? The Trinity doesn't fit neatly into a tagline all that well, or Twitter's 40 characters is a little too constricting as well. Who's going to pay attention? Well, allow me to probe a little bit of that concern today with you. According to the Gospel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all on the same page together. They're on the same page with respect to love that will go to any length for us humans in our wayward plunge into destruction. Is it not a pleasure when you deal with a company who, when your experience is that every person you call, you get the same story from, where they're all on the same page, so to speak? There's nobody likes obfuscation. We noted at the beginning of the sermon that human endeavor thrives when all are on the same page or pulling in the same direction. I asked you why. What's the source or ground of that experience? Well, the Gospel asserts that the human is the one creature that God fashioned in God's own image. And I invite you to consider that our human experience of the good that arises from united team play, for example, is because the one who fashioned us is a team player. Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit know a thing or two about team play. And no matter which person you call, you get the same answer. We love you. Jesus said that from within, from the human heart, evil intentions arise. And then he named among those evil intentions avarice, in it for the money, deceit, in it for the moment, pride, in it for yourself. Let me ask you, do these intentions build or destroy good team play? We can't even be consistent within ourselves. It seems that Jesus knows a thing or two about how to be on the same page with others. Let me offer you a more theologically accurate way of speaking of this idea of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being on the same page. In God's self-unveiling as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God has done so in such a way that what God is in himself, God is toward us. And what God is toward us, God is in himself through his saving acts in history. What God is and is in his activity toward us through the Son and in the Spirit is in perfect alignment with the love of the Father for us. All are on the same page with respect to love for us. Now, as fulfilling and as energizing as it is to be on the same page, will any page do? Think about how easily racism emerges. Whole groups of people could be on the same page with respect to disdain for certain ethnic group, but that's not a good page to be on, is it? In other words, being on the same page isn't an end in itself. The page you're on makes a great deal of difference. In John's Gospel, he gives us this wonderful summary sentence that describes profoundly and succinctly the page Father and Son and Spirit are on. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. In the Gospels, we learn that God is not his creation. Therefore, knowledge of God has to be the work of God himself. No human can begin from their contingent being as a creature and infer the eternal being of God. Such knowledge comes from God as God makes God's self known to us. John's Gospel relates our Lord saying that the Spirit the Father would give, will glorify me. The Scripture's description of the Spirit is a being sent from the Father in the name of the Son, never in the Spirit's own name. The Spirit is described like a floodlight, and floodlights are placed in such a way that you don't see the floodlight, but you see what it lights up. The reason we come to believe God so loved the world that he gave his only Son is the work of the Spirit in our lives, flooding that light, his light, on that so that we might believe. The world is shot through and through with Spirit. Here is how you know the Spirit of God, said Jesus. He will glorify me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all on the same page with respect to our salvation. God is also on the same page with respect to God's love for us. I've probed with you this idea of the energy and the productivity we humans experience by being on the same page. I ask you to consider whence such an experience arises and have pointed to the heart of God, who discloses God's self as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by being on the same page with regard to the rescue of us humans from sin. In a sense, the question I've been probing is a derivative of another question. Why do we humans experience love? Again, I point you to the gospel disclosure of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that love requires an object. Love exists between people. Yes, you can love yourself, but you would not know that to be love if you were the only creature alive or in existence. The scripture teaches us that creation itself sprang from the overflow of God's love. The love of Father, Son, and Spirit, the love of the Son for the Father and the Spirit, the love of the Spirit for the Son and the Father was so strong that in its effervescence of that love, it issues in creation. Creation is that overflow of God's love. God wanted to share the life and the love he already had so exquisitely as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three persons of God are so invested in one another, so giving for one another, so caring for one another, that although three persons, they form one God. They've been serving each other from all eternity and finding holy joy in that loving co-service. So great is this love. So focused was this love on each other that they wanted an entire universe to share it with. God was under no compulsion to create anything. Yet, it is just like God to want to create, to want to share this love. When we invite many of our friends to come to the wedding of one of our children,
or to come to baptism day on the baptism of a child or a grandchild, or we have an anniversary event. We want to widen the circle of our love and our joy. We want to share the grand event with those who are close to us. Something like this is what brought our creation about our creation in the first place. The Gospels assert that love arises from the heart of God. Love that is completely for the other finds its source in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read today from Psalm 29. And in that psalm, you hear a lot about the voice of God crashing here and smashing that and upsetting another thing. And yet the psalmist speaks about it so warmly. He ends that psalm by saying that God would give us peace. He's so certain of God's love for him. And you see, the event that towers over all of other God's incursions in life, assuring us that the God who snaps trees with his voice loves us, is the self-giving of Father, Son, and Spirit at the cross and raising the Son to life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son so that anyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And so I've been probing with you the wonder of God's self-disclosure and God's incursion in Jesus Christ, whose obedience to the one he called the Father was complete, and who promised to give the Holy Spirit. We have been thinking a little of what this incursion shows us about God, who God is in himself, and have drawn some lines to our own human experience created in God's image. I've underlined that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are on the same page with respect to God's desire to rescue us from sin and God's unending love for us. I think a question for us is in order. Am I on the same page with God? Isn't that the question the Scripture puts to us? This is what it means to believe in him. Have I acknowledged my sin and wayward resistance to God and taken our Savior as my own? Have I received his offer of amnesty? You see, faith is relationship with God. It begins with a yes. However weakly or tentatively we are able to assert our yes to Jesus, such yes is to begin or to renew this faith journey. We begin by trusting as much of ourselves as we know of ourselves to as much of God as we do know of him. You know, you think of these children we're bringing today. They don't know much of God yet, but we're trusting them to God as we bring them in our baptism today. See, our journey is ever lived, it seems to me, in the prayer, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, one more reflection on the triune God. There is a tendency among Christians toward Unitarianism, a slide toward that. To speak of God as a higher power or some such idea, so as not to be offensive to other religions or their ideas of God. And in the process, God becomes distant, watching over us maybe from some distant perch. We lose the personal in that drift toward that. God is spoken of like we would maybe the prime minister. We don't have a personal relationship. Our relationship with the prime minister is through citizenship. And so he or she is distant from us. And this is what happens with God in Unitarian thought. But in the Son, Jesus Christ, God has come among us. Each of us can know God personally by faith. He's great enough to encompass the universe, but close enough to enter our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we respond to what God has said to us in and through the Word today, we're going to begin with our prayers, our morning prayers today. And I ask you to keep two families in your prayers who have had recent bereavement. One is Rudy Willerding. His mother passed away earlier in May at 103 years of age, by the way. But remember Rudy and the family. And June Labette died on Friday. And the service will be here. There is visitation tomorrow at Dixon Garland Funeral Home in Markham. And the service for her will be here Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. So let's remember these two families in our prayers, the Willardings and the Labettes. Please join me in your hearts in prayer. Lord of all being and source of every blessing, we thank you for all good things,
for life and love, for health and food, for work and home, for nature's beauty and comfort, for human skills and laughter, for memory and hope, for so much that gives us pleasure and nourishment and hope. We praise you most of all for sending Jesus to be among us, for his life, death, and resurrection to new life, for the promise of eternal life in him, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mindful of your gifts, that they are without number, we offer this, our prayer of thanksgiving. O God, in whom alone is our hope and salvation, help us, amid all the blows of life, to confess to you our failures and fears. Help us to pour out our hearts before you, that we might know that place of knowing, that peace of knowing that you alone will make all things well. You are the compassionate one. You know how we're made, that our spirits often grow faint with the challenges that lay before us. And so we pray that you would comfort those who mourn, uplift the depressed, protect us from harm, guide us in our deciding, console us in hurt, reconcile in relationship, touch with healing, and so bless us with these gifts of yours. We commend to your gracious care and keeping all the men and women of our armed forces at home and abroad. Grant them a sense of your abiding presence wherever they may be. Kindle, O God, the desire for peace in all human hearts, and guide nations with your wisdom, that your kingdom may go forward in power till the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. We pray for your church today, and we think of its varied ministries. Undergird and sustain us in our work together in this place. We pray for the prosperity of your church in all nations of whom we are part, that all who confess your name, O Christ, may be led in the way of truth, the unity of the Spirit, and the bond of peace. We pray for these families today who have brought their children for baptism. We pray your blessing on Victoria and Lauren. Grant them faith in you as they grow and learn of you. Lord our God, accept the prayers of your people. In your great mercy, look with compassion on us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls. In all things for which we pray, give us the grace and wisdom to accept your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We continue in our worship with our morning offering. Let's share in our giving now.